Dave and Dujanovic, your morning companions for talk, analysis, and key perspectives on Utah's biggest stories. On KSL News Radio, Dave and Dujanovic have inside sources.
You know where to be at 1 o'clock if you want the inside track, because you need the inside track from inside sources Boyd Matheson. Listening yesterday, he had Speaker of the House Mike Johnson live on the line, and you so carefully orchestrated the conversation between Speaker Johnson and also Representative Celeste Malloy. Yeah. So great job with that yesterday, Boyd.
That's exciting. And when you talk about inside sources, this is what we're talking about, folks. I mean, it's not very often that someone like this can join anybody, no less. Here in Salt Lake City, boy, this is huge. We're going to play a little bit from that interview, of course. But I want to get your initial reactions after you spoke to the speaker.
You know, it's so interesting. Whether you like the speaker's politics or not, he's from Louisiana. He has a very easy conversation. He has a very easy way about him. He's a communicator, so he's a words guy, and understands that part of it. So it's always a very easy conversation. I thought it was really interesting just in terms of his whole approach, because what I really wanted to find out yesterday, I wanted to really understand kind of his governing philosophy. The politics stuff kind of comes and goes, but if you want to figure out where a leader is going, you have to kind of listen to how do they go about making decisions? How do they view their job? What's the criteria for making the crucial decisions and conversations? And so to me, that was kind of a fascinating kind of undertone that I've actually been going back myself and listening and saying, oh, it's interesting how he went here or didn't go there.
I was listening yesterday, and what I found myself thinking was that he's really grown quickly into that role. Mm. I was quite impressed with his response to your question about negotiating the budget. Yeah. I mean, you know, because he had a lot of people in his own party calling him out,
yeah.
But it sounded like he really took a negotiator's stance on it. Did you have that same takeaway?
Yeah, I think he's very comfortable, and I don't think he's afraid of having the job or not having the job, which I find pretty powerful. If you're okay not being the speaker, then you can be a better speaker. And I think that allows him to say things like, okay, look, we've got a one vote majority. So
very clear about that.
That is like not having a majority. That's almost worse than being in the minority.
Slimmest in history for the Republicans.
Yeah.
And so you do have to work together. And he talked a lot about working together.
Yeah.
Which we have to face reality right now. We're in an unprecedented moment in the United States Congress. We literally are operating right now with the smallest majority in the history of the Congress. We have a one vote margin. That means if we want to move Celeste and I, conservatives, we're here in the Congress working with our colleagues. If we want to move legislation that is our preference, that advances all of our policies, we can only lose one vote in the House. And then the problem is, even if we pass the House, of course, the Senate is run by Chuck Schumer and the Democrats, and we know who's sitting in the White House. So we only have one-third of one-half of the federal government, and it's the smallest majority in history. So we have to be realistic.
Boyd, when you said he could kind of take or leave the job, that is in such a stark contrast to Kevin McCarthy, who was living and dying by becoming Speaker of the House in this almost the second that he no longer was, he quit Congress.
Yeah. And so I think that's really interesting, because the reason we have some of the drama that we're seeing unfolding right now in Washington with a single member of the House being able to call to vacate the chair was because Kevin McCarthy so wanted to be Speaker. He was willing to say, okay, because it used to be you had to have a majority of the majority party in Congress to vacate the chair. And now you only have to have one to do that. But that was because Kevin McCarthy wanted that job so badly that he was willing to say, okay, fine, I'll roll the dice. He rolled the dice, and it worked for 6 months, and then he was out, and then he was really out because he was no longer in that particular chair. I think one of the fascinating things about Mike Johnson is the fact that even today, you know, we have all these calls from Marjorie Taylor Greene and some of those that are in that space, and he's sitting down having meetings with them today. That's an amazing thing. To someone who's threatening your job, someone who's saying, I'm going to call this out and I'm going to get rid of you, they're saying, come to my office. Let's have a chat. Because we have other things we have to get done, important things, including what they're dealing with this week in terms of this FISA stuff that we can get into later. There's some really crucial things on the table. And so he's saying, I don't care about all that. let's do the work of the people. Let's let everything else fall after that.
I want to pay just a few minutes of attention to your conversation, dual conversation, not only with House Speaker Mike Johnson, but also Representative Celeste Malloy was live on the line at the same time, and you were bouncing back and forth between the both of them. And I thought Representative Malloy really has a grip on something that I think a lot of us feel right now, and she said she's hearing this from a lot of Utahns, and she spoke about this on your show yesterday.
As I'm talking to voters, they're feeling a lot of frustration. There's a lot of confusing, you know, politics going on, and I think people are tired of having to pay attention to politics. They want us to do something good and definitive and put the nation on the right course so that they could go back to paying attention to other things.
Yeah, making politics boring again. I think it's not a bad slogan. Because if Congress does their job and if the state legislature does their job, then people have to worry less about it. And so I think that's an important part of that is when the job gets done right, then the rest of us have to worry less about some of those
things. We've
got a
lot of other things to worry about in our own homes. I do want to pay attention, and I like that when it's transparent, but when it's the screaming and the yelling, it's just one more thing.
Because then you can't get to what matters, the essence of it.
I'm confused by what's going on. People are yelling at me about it. And so I also feel like it makes me feel disconnected from the real important things. So I loved that she brought that up.
I do think we have an endless supply of interest in policy. Yeah. I don't think we have a lot of interest or patience anymore for the politics. And I think we're savvy enough as voters and as Americans to realize you are completely overreacting to something like this. This is not even registering on my radar, but I think we do want to ask the tough questions and figure out how are we going to fix the debt? How are we going to fix Social Security? How are we going to fix these things? We will brainstorm all day long. We have interest in that, but not just the you know, pounding on the table.
Yeah, and things that are going to get you nice social media hits and get you on cable news. And I think one of the other refreshing components to Mike Johnson, and if you ever want to have an interesting listen, you should go back and listen to the first speech he delivered after he was given the gavel as Speaker of the House. It's really instructive, and I don't care what your politics are. It's a great speech. It's a very American speech. It's a very, this is who we should be about in terms of policy kind of speech. And it's worth going back to. I think it's pretty instructive to see how he's actually leading now. And the fact that he's straight up, and I actually, going back to Debbie's point, and to your point too, Dave, in terms of he respects the voters. He says, you're smart enough that I don't have to do the theatrics for you. I'm going to tell it to you straight. And he said it. He said, look, we can get 70% of what you want, or we can get 80% of what you want, or we can go over the edge together waving a flag. Mm-hmm. Great theatrics.
Yep.
But in the end, is that where you really want to go?
Yeah. Well, Boyd, thank you. And great conversation. You can find that at KSLNewsRadio.com if you want to listen to that. Boyd's podcast, of course, as well. This segment of the Dave and Dejanovic Show is brought to you by Window World. Replace your windows and doors without the hassle or baloney. Call Window World of Utah today.
Got breaking news just learning moments ago that First Lady Abby Cox has undergone surgery on her spine. It looks like it happened this morning. The University of Hospital, a press release, the statement that we received from Governor Spencer Cox and also the chief of staff at the University of Utah Hospital says that after weeks of debilitating pain, First Lady Abby Cox underwent surgery on her spine to remove what they're calling a degenerative disc in her neck. Of course, saying that they're very grateful for the surgeons and the doctors and the staff at the University of Utah Hospital for their attention and care, and that she's looking forward to a speedy recovery and also getting back to her duties soon. We certainly wish her the best as well with her recovery and hope that all went well during the surgery, but thankfully we're getting this information that she's made that decision to undergo that surgery, and hopefully, fingers crossed, it alleviates that debilitating pain.